Thank you. good evening and Merry Christmas. Please be seated. I want to extend to all of you a very warm welcome to St. James on this beautiful Christmas Eve. My name, in case you haven't met me yet, is Michael Bruce, and I am the new priest at St. James. I've been here for about 5 or 6 months. We moved from Regina, Saskatchewan, so I feel like I'm in a tropical vacation right now, and it is absolutely delightful. So I am thrilled that you have chosen to be here this evening to partake in a service where we lift our hearts and our voices to the creator and sustainer of all, where we tell again stories so profound that they've shaped 2,000 years of history, and we can hear how Jesus' birth has meaning for us to this day. As part of our tradition in the church, we've been lighting the Advent wreath beside us, getting ready for the coming of Christmas. And so now we light the final candle in that tradition that we have, and I'd invite Paul Granvo and Katie Clark to come forward. From the Christ who was, is, and shall be, grace and peace be with you.
God with us, love shine, your moment has come.
In the dark of the womb, you waited. Bathed in the balm of the star, you rest. Into a world sorely in need of your light, you are born. When you knock on the door looking for room, may we welcome you.
Like the angel messengers, call us to share your good news with those who are poor, excluded, and afraid. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out.
The lover of heaven has come to earth. The call of Christ begins with a baby's cry.
We light the Christ candle. May it light the way.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, this night, this holy night, is radiant with the brilliance of your one true light. As we have known the revelation of that light on earth, bring us to see the splendor of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there will be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descendant from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace and goodwill among those he favors." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So in our service tonight, there was a grand total of 2 verses between our first and our second reading. But if you're to look at when those 2 readings were written, they were about 1,000 years apart in time. So the shepherds who we hear of in the story would have known the proclamation of Isaiah in the same way that we today know the story of King Arthur or the history of the Battle of Hastings. It would have been a part of their repertoire, a part of their life, and they would have been looking forward to and expecting the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the God of Gods, the Lord of Lords. And then in the middle of nowhere, on an average night, an angel appears. This is not something that happens all the time. And the angel says to them, "Good news, the proclamation of the Savior is coming. The Christ is born. And this is how you will find him. In swaddling bands, in a manger." To put it into modern context, it would be a little bit like this. Imagine if someone had told you, and you had no reason to doubt, that one day you would read the most amazing novel that you have ever read, that it would be so transformative that it would adjust your life and it would give you a whole new outlook on how everything is to be done. And then one day you're told, and that novel will be found on the blog of a 13-year-old who's writing fan fiction. It's not what you're expecting. It's like saying that one day you'll drive the fastest car in the world and you find out that it's going to be a 1992 Mazda Protege. That was my first car. It was not fast. There is a juxtaposition that is just uncanny and doesn't make any sense. These poor shepherds were, for lack of a better word, slapped upside the head with what the angel was proclaiming to them. The Savior that Isaiah proclaimed was this mighty figure who would fix things in a war-torn country, a country that is just as war-torn 2,000 years later. And this Savior was going to come and was going to fix things and make things right. And the angel tells them that this little child is born in swaddling bands, not even a gown, and no crib, but put in a manger, a feeding place for animals. Kind of like putting a baby in a drawer. We're not supposed to do that anymore. You're not supposed to put a child in a manger. It's just not done. And yet that's the sign. One of the things that I love about the Christian tradition and about faith is how it can take two things that don't seem to go together at all. In fact, are completely opposites and are paradoxes, and put them together and find some sort of harmony in a way that speaks of a wisdom far greater than any human wisdom. One example, how many of you, raise of hands, have heard the saying, when mercy and justice are together? Have you thought about that for a second? Justice is getting your comeuppance. It's getting what you deserve. And mercy is getting what you don't deserve, is getting let off the hook. And somehow, in the Christian tradition, we hold those things up and almost say them together in the same breath. It doesn't make sense. And yet, the tension of those two things causes a harmony that is beyond beautiful. To have mercy and justice inspires us to strive beyond the limits of our comprehension and look for something greater than ourselves. Look for some truth of the divine in the everyday, in the mundane. In a few moments, I'm going to stand up at that high altar and tell you about how this wonderful baby who was born tonight died. Again, that is not something that you think would go together. We're here celebrating Jesus' birth, and the major part of our service is going to be remembering how he died. They shouldn't go together, and yet they do, in a beautiful way, and in a way that sort of transcends the human expectation of what we think a Savior should be. It tells a story that is so resonant, you cannot deny its impact on history. The abolition of slavery comes from this very idea. Universal human rights can be tracked down to the Christian understanding that each and every one of you, of us, is a beloved child of God, regardless of your merit, regardless of your deeds, regardless of your worth as society sees it. God views you as precious, as beloved, as so worth it that they would lay aside power and privilege and everything to come down from heaven and to be born helpless. I don't know about you, but the powerful people in this world could really use that lesson of laying aside power. There's some politicians who I think could learn a thing or two from Jesus every now and then. I'm not naming names, but I'm sure you can think of a few too. The Christian story of power being laid aside is so powerful that we're here tonight to hear it again. 2,000 years later, this story still has an impact on the society around us and on our lives, that it's worth getting out of your comfortable homes and coming here so that we can do something as simple and as mundane as singing songs and hearing stories. And yet in that simple and mundane thing, we echo the songs of angels in heaven. Faith holds together things that don't always make sense. And yet in that tension, there is beauty and there is love. This night, this simple night, is miraculous. This story that we tell, as simple as it is, has changed the world and will continue to change the world and will change us just for hearing it. The power of God is not in heavy-handedness or in changing things and breaking will, but is an invitation. And so tonight, the invitation to you is to participate in telling this story, to participate in the totality of faith, not just in rejoicing that Christ was born, but hearing the story of his death and resurrection and pondering, wondering what that might mean for us today in this place. Because it means something. It has always meant something. And it always will. Today, the invitation is offered to you. Come, join us. Lift your voices, sing of God's greatness, and know that love has changed the world. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to stand. And let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God. Invite the congregation to be seated, kneel, or stand for the prayers.
As we gather to celebrate Christmas, let us pray to the living God. Lord God, thank you for our church and its people, for our deacons, our priests, our bishops, and all who pray. Bless us all and strengthen us for your service so we can touch the world with your love. Holy God, be born in us today. Lord God, we thank you for our world and all its beauty and blessing. Teach us your ways, your love, and your truth, and let your kingdom grow and flourish. Holy God, be born in us today. Lord God, we thank you for our families, our neighbors, our friends, for the happiness of human loving and sharing. We pray for your blessing on all those we love, whether present with us today or far away. Holy God, be born in us today. Lord God, we thank you for health and for strength. And pray now for your help and healing wherever people ache with pain and sorrow, loneliness or fear. Bless them in their need and surround them with your love. Holy God, be born in us today. Lord God, we thank you for lives well lived and for all who have guided us to you. We pray for those who have died and for all whom Christmas sharpens the loss of loved ones. Holy God, be born in us today. Lord God, we thank you for Christmas joy and all the opportunities to show our love for one another. May our love, rooted in yours, continue throughout the year. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful Father, we confess that
we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. If we have not loved you with our whole heart, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. After his resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace, not our own, with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of hope, renew in us the joy of your salvation and make us a living sacrifice to you for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, Creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who in the mystery of his incarnation was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother. In him we have seen a new and radiant vision of your glory. Therefore, with all the angels of heaven, we lift our voices and sing our joyful hymn of praise to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory.
God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom. Happy are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, may this Eucharist free us from our sins, fill us with unending joy, and prepare us for the birthday of our Savior. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord now and forever. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world now begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.